from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Well, it's been a day. I think it's the most Monday Wednesday of all time today. We're talking about that last night at dinner. I was with my wife and my folks, and some of my family is in town. And my dad was like, God, it kind of felt like a Friday today. He was like, it is not even close. It's not even almost Friday. It is Tuesday. And then today, so here's how my day started. Good morning, everybody in the chatty house, by the way. I usually shout you guys out individually. James and I will say good morning. But we're a little bit behind today, or I'm a little bit behind today, because I changed my routine. Thanks to everybody listening, by the way, on ESPN 1320 AM, the free Odyssey app, and everybody watching on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. A big thank you to everybody hanging out with us on this July 24th, 2024. I changed my routine today, and I'm a very routine-oriented person. So when I make a change, and I do like to change things up from time to time, I'm not like it has to be the same all the time. But sometimes I'll make a conscious effort of, it might be something as small as I'm going to change where I sit in the kitchen area, the work area, the shared workspace here in the office when I come in. It might be something like stopping for coffee, or maybe stopping and getting some pre-show work done at a coffee shop. Well, today I decided, because my alarm goes off at 5, I roll out of bed 5:20, 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
I usually leave my house at 6. I get here between 7:30 and 8. I knock out some writing, and then you and I start prepping the show when you pull up. We start prepping the show. We work on it all the time, but we start prepping the show in earnest when you show up. Well, today, I thought, hey, I have some writing to do, but I'm going to do it at home. I'm going to write at home and then shoot to leave by like 7 or 7:30. And get here about 9, about the time you get here. And we'll just get here at the same time. We'll just start rocking right away.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, I leave on the very back end of that estimated timeline, 7:30.
Oh.
And then I have to stop and get gas, naturally. And because I've had a full bottle of water and a coffee, I got to stop and use the restroom on the way here. And then the thing I did not account for was the massive amount of traffic that's going to happen around 8:30 a.m. going on 5 to 50, where you can stay on 5 or you can go to 50 west or you can go to 50 east. My GPS told me to get on 50 east. Well, then you're battling that to get on 80. And then once you get on 80, you're battling that whole section of 80 where they're widening it right now down through like Cal Expo and Arden, where it's always backed up. It could be 3 a.m. on a Wednesday. It doesn't matter. That's going to be backed up.
Always.
So that was backed up. Brutal, dude. Just horrible planning by me, because by the time I got gas, I'm not even really on the road until 7:40. It's already an hour 40-minute drive to get here with no traffic. So I'm pulling up here at like 9:20. We have an interview coming up today at 11 with the Salinas sisters, who are both racers, are going to be racing out at Sonoma this weekend. I'm really excited to chat with them, but we had to prep for that interview, had to prep an entire show. I'm trying to get this whole thing ready, and you and I are chatting. We're kind of laying out the show. Okay, here's what we got this and that and this and that. And then I look and we have like 18 seconds to showtime. Man.
These things happen, Kyle.
This is not a hard job.
No.
Of all the, there are people doing roofing and concrete, and there are doctors and nurses and lawyers and teachers who are impacting the world on a much higher level than we are, and they work on a much different plane than we do, from a physical standpoint, from a mental standpoint. That is just a fact.
Kyle, when I was in Cabo, there's a lot across the street where they're building.
Yeah.
It's so hot. Like it got up to like 88, 89 degrees, but the humidity was so high.
Oppressive.
Bros didn't even have a wheelbarrow. They were literally loading all of the dirt into buckets, carrying a bucket on their shoulder, handing it to another guy who would drop a bucket in and then go back and start over all day long. And I thought, okay, there are so many things in the world that I could be doing that would be worse than doing a 2-hour radio show in the morning.
Those guys are doing more physical labor in 40 seconds than we are going to do in 40 years doing this job.
Oh yeah.
Like that's just it. Yeah. So again, this is not to say we have a hard job or anything, but there's like there's an amount of time that you need.
Well, that, and we prep. We like, so people who might think that we don't prep, we have our rundown is a beautiful thing. Like,
yes.
And we get complimented on our rundowns all the time.
Yes.
Like, we are very well prepared for a show.
Most of the time.
Yeah, but, you know, and I was thinking this morning, Kyle, man, I'm having a rough commute. I hit like 8 stoplights.
Ouch. The worst.
But you're going through something so much worse than I am that I shouldn't even bring that up.
A tough commute's a tough commute.
Yeah.
But so getting here at 9:20, it turns out, not enough time.
It's not ideal for you.
Not enough time for me.
I could just feel the anxiety with you. See, I don't typically live in a world with anxiety for whatever reason.
Must be nice.
So I wander the earth with no anxiety at all. I don't know why. But like I walk in, I'm like, huh, okay, Kyle will be here when he gets here. And I just sat down and started prepping. Like for me, I live in a world without anxiety, and then I try to relieve anxiety from other people. Like, hey, how can I help you?
Yeah,
and sometimes I know the best way to help Kyle is to just leave and go in the other room and let you figure it out.
That's facts.
And then you'll be okay, and we'll be fine. And,
yes.
Yeah.
That's what I try. And it's like, because I'm always like, hey, how's it going? Hey, we got smiles and thumbs up. There's sports talk coming up, by the way. I promise. It's like, hey, how's it going? You know, but like, there's sometimes I need 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I need 10 minutes to fume and steam and just lock in, and then I'm good.
Yeah.
And then I'm good. Say, you came in, need a breakfast bar. No, I'm good. All right. I'll be out here. You need anything? Great. Got everything done. And then went, all right, let's prep.
Yeah.
Let's do this. It's all good.
Yep.
Anyways. thanks everybody for hanging out with us. Thanks everybody for bearing with us. We're going to do something a little different today. We're going to talk about some baseball. Because the Oakland Athletics are going to be calling Sacramento home starting next year. I believe March 27th is the season opener against the Seattle Mariners at Sutter Health Park.
Okay.
It was just down at the Rivercats game. I believe, no, nothing official yet, I believe you have a Rivercats game coming up.
I do?
We will promote that and all that once that's all nailed down. But you have a Rivercats game coming up. And you can see out there, they're doing work on that ballpark to get ready for the A's.
Yeah, they're building a clubhouse in center field to start.
Yes.
Well, that was already on the docket.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like how that's going to work out with Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. I think there's still a lot that has to be decided.
Yeah, and they will. Everything will get figured out. Logistics in these scenarios, there are so many people making so much money to figure that stuff out. It's going to it'll all work out. One of my concerns. I'm going to put aside my fandom here for a second.
Okay.
And my just overall thoughts on A's ownership and how they've handled everything for the last two decades. Mm. one of my concerns with the A's coming to Sacramento, and one of my hang-ups with it was, again, putting aside my Oakland A's fandom, was, yo, Sacramento is going to get a team that is bad. This is one of the worst teams in baseball. They don't actively invest in the team. They trade their good players. And they're certainly maybe the final year in Sacramento, but the first couple, they are certainly not going to be pouring money into the team.
Yeah.
That's just kind of the reality of it. And so my initial thought was, this is going to suck. Sacramento is going to get Major League Baseball, and it's going to be this team that's a 60 to 70 win team for 4 or 5 years or however long they're here. And then they're going to pack up and leave, and that's going to be it. And that's going to stink.
Yeah.
But the way the A's have played this year, and this is not to say they've been awesome, because they're last in a not very good division, and they're going to finish last in their division, and they're going to have one of the four worst records in baseball. But this year's team reminds me a lot of the 2017 A's. And if you remember, that was the year that Matt Chapman came up. Matt Chapman played 84 games that year. Marcus Semien was 26 at that point and a prospect from the White Sox. He played 85 games that year. Matt Olson came up, played 59 games, and hit 24 homers. And you just could see the outline, and I believe they won 75 games.
Mm.
This year's team's not going to win 75. They might push 65, but they're not going to win 75. But this team reminds me a little bit of that 17 team, where you can see the faint outline of a talented group. And I think Sacramento is going to land in the A's sweet spot. There's always a sweet spot with the A's, right?
Yes.
Where the prospects are up in the majors, playing well, and also affordable enough for long enough that the A's will be justified, can justify to themselves holding on to these players.
Yeah, too young to trade.
Yes. And that is where those little, like, 2 to 3 year playoff windows happen.
Hmm.
And I'm watching this team. I'm watching Lawrence Butler hit 900 or whatever he's hitting in July. It's not 900.
I wrote it down.
Yep.
In the month of July, 17 games. The A's are 11-6, first of all, in the month
of
July. Pretty good. He's batting .417 with 8 homers, 24 RBI. His slugging is .950. His OPS is 1.420.
For reference, Shohei Ohtani's OPS is an insane number, and it's like 1.03 something.
Yes.
Having an OPS over 1,000 is wild.
Yeah, but having one at over 1,400 is...
Bonkers.
Yeah.
Over 17 games is not a massive sample, but it's also not 3 games.
No, but this is a kid.
Yes. This is a guy figuring it out.
Yeah, yeah. I mentioned this like a week and a half ago. I said, I think Lawrence Butler's figuring it out. And you're like, it's too early for that, bro.
Like, I need some time.
And I'm like, yeah, it's too early. You're right. And then boom, all of a sudden you're like.
He just kept it going.
And last night, I mean, he gunned a dude at home plate early in the game.
Hit another homer.
On a deep fly ball. He had a homer, a triple, and a double. And then they pitched around him in the 8th inning when they were down 8-2 and walked him. Just like, it's crazy what he's becoming right now. It's like, hey, look at that.
Well, and this is, the A's took 2 out of 3 from the Angels to open the second half, which, whatever. The Angels aren't very good either. They have a couple more wins than the A's, but they're not great. The Astros are good. The Astros, they were really bad to open the year, but the Astros fancy themselves like a playoff team that is a couple trades away from being a contender.
Yeah.
And the A's have just smoked them in Oakland the last two nights. It hasn't been particularly close. And I think what we're seeing, again, this is not to say the A's are going to make some run and win 80 games and, oh my God, look, and Lawrence Butler's hitting .400 the rest of the year. But this is Lawrence Butler now figuring it out. This is the A's now starting to figure it out.
Mm.
And I think Sacramento could be benefiting from that typical A's sweet spot of, hey, the young guys are up. Here's a savvy veteran signing. Here's another savvy veteran signing. Oh, this rando prospect turned into a really good number 3 starter, and they made one minor offseason trade where, they now have a lights out 8th inning guy in the bullpen in front of Mason Miller, and holy crap, look, the A's won 86 games their first year in Sacramento.
Mm.
I did not think that was on the table, but I think there's a way they can get there, because I don't think they're going to spend money. I don't. As much as I love Sacramento and as much as I want to see this city thrive, I don't think John Fisher feels the same way.
Yeah.
John Fisher is not, he's still trying to figure out how to get money for Vegas. So I don't.
He has not figured that out.
No.
No, I mean,
still working through it.
The latest on that is wild. They literally are walking into like high level planning meetings and literally telling them that they have like zero financing lined up at all. And they're saying, oh, well, we haven't really looked. And on the backside, people are saying, no. They've been begging for a year and getting shut down by everyone left and right. There is no one wanting to invest in them because it's the ROI is nuts.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you think you might be able to sell that team for later. That doesn't matter because you're going to be locked into a stadium here in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And there's no way it's going to sell out, which that's something that they've promoted, that they're going to be able to sell 29,500 seats.
Every game,
forever, for 25 years. That's not going to happen. There's all of these like roadblocks in their way for them to be really high caliber. And people are like, look, it's not a good investment. It's a bad investment. And like, if you're getting into a major league team, I talk about this all the time. Vivek bought a valuation of $535 million to the Maloofs. That's what the Maloofs didn't get $535 million. They owed a bunch of money. They have minority owners, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. They got like, I think they walked away with like $235 million or something.
Mm-hmm.
But Vivek bought the team $535 million. It's now worth like $3.4 billion. Like he is in a decade has made hand over fist, but that money isn't readily available. It's not like you can say it's worth that, but it's worth that when you go to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it. Like you can't just go out and take on a whole bunch of loans against and leverage your property. Mm-hmm. Basketball doesn't allow that. Major League Baseball is not going to allow that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really, really crazy. That's not the situation that they're going to be in Las Vegas, that the A's will be in Las Vegas.
I just said when we were talking about Sutter Health Park
mm-hmm.
and all the things they've got to do to make that a major league ready baseball facility. And I said, they're going to figure it out. There might be stories coming out about, oh, they're behind on this and they still got to do this and they got to figure out who's paying for that. That's all. They're going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's I have the utmost confidence in that. What I don't have the utmost confidence in is the A's figuring it out in Vegas.
No.
The longer this goes on, and the more it's not just A's ownership incompetence. It's not just them bungling a deal. It is that people don't want to work with them.
Yeah.
At least that's what I've gathered. I'm not down there. I'm not in meetings, but that's what I've gathered from all the reporting. And I just, the longer this goes on, every day this goes on, the more it's like, man, they could really, really fumble this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they work it out. Again, a lot of smart people who make a lot of money, who are spending a lot of money. Like there's ways that how do I say this nicely? There's ways they can secure the funding and make this go through.
Yeah.
But I just don't like it. It was like the Lawrence Butler thing. Said Lawrence Butler's figuring it out. I'm like, I need to see it.
Yeah.
And hey, he has, and he's been awesome. I got to see it with this group, with A's ownership first, before I decide like, oh, yep, they're for sure going to Vegas. I lean toward it, but,
Hey, man, I know that there is a really, really strong buzz around Sacramento that there's a good chance this team is staying in Sacramento and that there may already have been plans in place to line up investors for a new stadium in Sacramento. Like without any question, I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to have to build a new stadium. That's the first thing you have to know that, which is going to be, I don't know what it is at this point, but probably close to $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the heat in Sacramento, someone's probably going to ask for a roof, maybe not. Maybe you can get away with a partial roof. I don't know, but like it's so hot in Sacramento during the summer that it's a problem, right? They're going to play almost all of their games at night, especially during the summer here in Sacramento. So I think that there's a lot of positivity. And I think the point that you're bringing up is you might hit the sweet spot. You might get to see mm-hmm. really, really fun baseball. Like,
yeah.
I would love to see, you know, again, Brent Rooker is just tearing it up, right? He's just crushing the ball. And
I think he's getting traded.
I think there's a good chance he probably is getting traded, but mm-hmm. I would love to see him for a season or two. He's under team control for another, I think it's four seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just sit here and watch him mash home run after home run in a smaller park. And that would be so much fun. That guy could hit 50 homers a year, like the whole time here in Sacramento.
Junior turns 30 this year.
Yeah. You're getting he's in his prime. I mean, this is like old Moneyball, where you stumble upon a couple of guys, and, you know, they're hoping they did the same with Andujar, and they're hoping they did the same with Blade and all that stuff. But, like, you're still, the young group of players here is so impressive. And there are a few more, and they just drafted a huge bat, a huge first baseman that, like, at the college level, walked like 70-something times.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a great eye, and he mashes home runs all over the place. And he's probably not that far away. His the way he views the game, and, you know, like, he's an older like 21, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not that far away from being your everyday first baseman that blasts 40 home runs a year.
And you're seeing more teams willing to do that with their prospects. Just bring them up and, like, yeah, hey, all right, they're playing now.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Yeah, they might stink, but okay, fine. You send them back down. They need a little more seasoning. But
Yeah.
But you look at what the Orioles have been doing with their for the last couple of years now, bringing guys up early. See what the Pirates did with Paul Skenes.
Yeah.
Who was playing for LSU a year ago, and now he's starting All-Star games. So there's a very real chance that the A's are in Sac and Sacramento catches that just little run the A's go on through the early to mid 2000s, and then in 2012, 13, and 14, and, you know, they haven't really made it. I guess there was the couple of years with Olsen and Chapman and those guys in 18, 19, 20, and 21.
Hmm.
I always get my years mixed up, but they went to the playoffs a couple of years there. The more I watch this team, and the more you see Zach Gelof, who started not great, but he's starting to figure it out, and J.J. Blade is playing better, and Brent Rooker is still hitting, and now you got Lawrence Butler starting to figure it out, and there's Mason Miller. Just like, hey, we've seen this exact foundation be really good a lot of times.
Yeah.
So I kind of see it.
Yeah, you're going to need some pitching, but you can see it, yeah. Rooker, arbitration eligible in 2025, free agent eligible in 2028.
Wow.
Yeah.
The arbitration eligible is the issue here.
Yeah, that's going to be the issue.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
going to make as much as everyone else on the team combined.
He's going to be worth some cash. Did you see that Kurtz, the A's first baseman you were just talking about?
Yeah, number four pick.
Yeah, from Wake Forest. He is the fourth highest paid hitter on the A's. Third highest paid.
And they paid him under slot.
Yes. Like $1.5 million under his $1.5 million value.
For the number four pick in the draft. Yes. You paid him $7 million as opposed to the 8.4 something that he could have that his slot was like set at.
The underlying thing with all of this, forget relocation for a second. Forget what the A's are, who they're gonna trade and spend money on. What they need to do is revamp their just player development system.
Yeah.
They make way too many trades of good players for prospects that don't work out.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
You've got, I cover the or I blog about the Dodgers at the Sporting News. I don't want to say cover because I'm not there. Like, there are people every day that cover the team. I blog about the Dodgers for the Sporting News. And the amount of players, they had at one point 7 starting pitchers on the IL.
Oof.
7. They had another kid, Bobby Miller, who was a good rookie last year, who struggled a little bit this year. He had to be sent down to AAA because he couldn't figure it out. But their ability to just go, yeah, hey, here's this guy, Landon Knack. He's a rookie. He's just going to be in our starting rotation now. He's going to be really good. Oh, need a spot starter? Yeah, hey, here's this kid, River Ryan, their number two pitching prospect. He's just going to come up and be lights out for 5 1/3 against the Giants.
Mm.
And that's why the Dodgers can make all these massive trades and then still do it the next year, because they develop players like crazy in their farm system. Forget spending on free agents.
Yep.
Keeping your own guys, spending money to do that would be good. The A's need to spend in player dev, man. They need to catch up.
Yeah.
That's a massive problem for them.
And for me, they just kept drafting light hitting shortstops again and again. Like most of their prospects in the minors.
Jacob Wilson's been good though.
But Jacob Wilson's been incredible. He's batting he was batting .417 over three levels when they brought him up, and the first thing he did, he gets a hit and then pulls his hamstring.
Just brutal.
Yeah.
Batting 1,000 in his major league career.
Yeah, like that's wild. You know, you talked about the Dodgers, you know, they just DFA'd James Paxton.
Yep.
He's 8-2 with a .443 ERA. He'd be the A's best starter. Like that. I mean, that's not great, but the fact that they're okay to just like DFA a guy who's 8-2 on the season. Like, okay.
When they need pitching. Yeah. They need starting pitching.
Well, they have two guys coming back.
Yeah, Glasnow's coming back. Kershaw's coming back. Yoshinobu Yamamoto has said that he plans to come back from a strained rotator cuff. It sounds like Walker Buehler, who is technically on the IL.
Okay.
But he's really been in Florida. He did an interview in The Athletic where he's like, I just needed to get away.
Oh.
Because he's come back. He just had his second Tommy John surgery. He's coming back from that and he's struggling.
Got it.
So but Walker Buehler was like an all-star before he got hurt.
Yeah.
They got him coming back. And they're going to trade for a top-end starter too, I think. But probably Garrett Crochet from the White Sox has been the name tied to them the most. But yeah, man, the Dodgers are a team that if the A's had James Paxton, like you said, it would be every fifth day. Oh, good, it's a Paxton start.
Yeah.
Got a real chance today.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers just go, see ya. We've got some 23-year-old that is going to come up instead.
Yeah, the A's don't have any of that coming up behind. Yeah, it's crazy.
But anyways, I don't think I knew Jacob Wilson was a Grand Canyon guy.
Oh, really?
That's a good program. It's a really good program, GCU.
Yeah, it's Jack Wilson's son.
Mm-hmm.
Old Pirates second baseman, right?
Man, that's
his line nuts, is crazy at the single A, double A, and triple A level, batting .417.
.438. He's hitting across three leagues this year. Jacob Wilson.
Oh.
.475 on base.
Yeah.
That's between double A, triple A, and then he played a little bit in rookie ball.
Yeah, the dude breaks. Yeah, absolutely crazy. And what was he in college last year?
No, 2020. Yeah. Yeah, I was in college last year, 2023.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Absolutely crazy what he's been able to accomplish. And then he literally like scores from first on a triple and pulls his hamstring. You're like, brutal, oh, dude. No, look, he grabs his hamstring.
Brutal.
Oh,
brutal.
Yeah.
So,
brutal.
You know, I'm crossing my fingers, man. Again, putting my personal feelings about the A's relocation aside,
mm-hmm.
They're just objectively, because again, I love the city of Sacramento and I want the best for it. I really hope that the A's continue trending the direction they're trending because history tells us that Sacramento is going to get a really fun version of this team.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're just going to get rid of guys. I don't think if that was going to happen, they'd trade Mason Miller. I don't think they're going to do that. And I do think that if in their minds they're 3 years away from Vegas, that they're looking at this group and going, hey, we can go to Vegas with a good team that's also inexpensive.
Yeah. Yeah, we
and
can
thread
get,
that needle.
We can get to the second, third year in Sacramento and take care of some arbitration years and extend these guys out.
Yeah.
And walk into Vegas with a real team.
Yeah.
If that actually
without
happens.
Having to spend big money.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm so interested to see. Because that's been their whole ethos. Has been, well, hey, get a new stadium, gonna spend some money.
Mm.
Get a new stadium, gonna spend all right. Believe let's, it when I see
let's
it.
Let's test that theory.
Yeah.
winning cures all.
Go be in the running for Juan Soto then. Free agent next year. Go be in that mix. Go have a meeting with him. Mm. See how it goes. Go tell him you'll shell out $500 million.
Yeah. Put him in Sutter Health Park where he's gonna launch like 65. You're like,
you'd have to put a barrier over the Tower Bridge.
The grassy knoll. Yeah. He's gonna like just like people running around on the grassy hill.
Not Patrick Bailey. Oh my God. Plays for the Rivercats.
Oh, I don't know.
Blake Sable. Oh my God. Blake Sable hit a home run the other night onto that hill when I was out at the Cats game.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm like, look out. Because there's people running around. It's just family time out there, dude. People are having a great time.
Oh yeah.
It looked like so, but there's a home run coming.
I've never been to a River Cats game where someone didn't catch a get hit by a foul ball and get injured. Medical attention needed down the right field line every single time.
Highly recommend it, your game, to bop around the stadium.
Oh yeah.
Go sit in the grass for a while. It's a really, really good time. Reminds me of spring training. All right. We got to hit a break. When we come back, Kyle Shanahan did an interview with Tim Kawakami on the TK Show. That's actually an Odyssey podcast. We had a couple of takeaways from that. We'll discuss that next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're hanging out with you till noon, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle, he's James. Coming up at 11 o'clock, the Salinas sisters, Jasmine and Gianna. They are NHRA racers racing out at Sonoma this weekend. They're from San Jose, home track here in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be in studio. They're going to come hang out. We're going to talk about racing with them. Neither James nor I know a ton about this stuff, and we're going to learn it all from them.
That's right.
I have so many questions.
Yeah, they drive fast, Kyle.
Like, hey, I think I'm Daredevil Dan when I get to like 80.
Oh.
Sometimes if I'm, and I know you're different, but.
Well, 270,000 miles, I mean.
I'm willing to go as fast.
Things are shaking at that point.
When I start to feel the. Like, oh, yeah, slow down. I got to get my car into Jiffy Lube.
That's right. That's right.
That's coming up at 11 o'clock. You're not going to want to miss it. That's going to be a lot of fun. We watched some interviews with them on various TV stations out in the Bay Area, and they're a fun interview. So can't wait to chat with them at 11 o'clock-ish. We were talking about, real quick, before we get to this Kyle Shanahan interview with Tim Kawakami. somebody in the chatty house, Dr. David in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 is a big A's fan and not a huge fan of A's ownership. And so Dr. David said, I just kind of pretend like John Fisher does not own the A's. And that's how I kind of go about it.
Okay.
So that got me thinking, if you are an A's fan and you've said, you know what, I can't bring myself to back this particular ownership group. I don't feel right about it or whatever, but they're going to be here in Sacramento. It's going to be Major League Baseball. The A's are going to play at Sutter Health Park. But I can't, like, you're trying to judge. I think there's a pretty easy justification you can make that if that ballpark's selling out every night, whether it's A's fans or Yankee fans or Red Sox fans or Cubs fans or Mariners fans, it doesn't matter, right? If that ballpark is selling out every single night, it increases the likelihood that if John Fisher does, if Vegas sells through, or excuse me, if Vegas falls through and the John Fisher ownership group decides, you know what, this isn't worth it anymore, we're going to sell this team. I think at that point, it's going to go to the highest bidder. They're not just going to stay in Sacramento because they're here. That's not how it works. They're going to sell the team to whoever gives them the most money. So if people are going to games and selling out games, I think whoever is going to put together a bid for Sacramento, because it sounds like from what you're saying, there will be one in this universe where the team is sold.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be a bid from Sacramento. I think that Sacramento bid, people would be willing to dump more money into it as necessary if that ballpark is sold out every single night. People are wearing green and gold and supporting, hey, this is a Major League Baseball town. That's how I'm willing to justify it if you're an A's fan here at Sac.
Okay, so this is such a difficult thing. Like, I've grown up being an A's fan since it's my team. It's the team that I've followed and baseball is my favorite sport, a lot like you, Kyle. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. If they move to Vegas, I've said it repeatedly, I'm done with baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they move to Vegas and then they backfill a Major League Baseball team into Sacramento, I'm not done with baseball.
Like, yeah,
if there's a hometown team here,
sure,
then I'm on board.
Right.
Right?
It's very different.
It is very different. And so
you're talking like via expansion.
Yeah.
They see what happens at Sutter Health Park over the next 3 or 4 or 5 years or whatever.
And they let the team go to Vegas, but then they say, okay.
Top of the expansion.
They are the very top of the expansion list because, number one, you may have just proved that you have the fan base to do it. Mm-hmm. But number two, it's the fact that there is no more team in Oakland. So your television markets and everything are sort of broken up differently.
Mm-hmm.
And look, Sacramento is an incredibly fast growing city.
Mm-hmm.
And not just like fast, like, oh, it's a huge television market. It's number 18, number 19, number 20, mm-hmm. depends on what you're reading. And it's only getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So if I'm a, you know, baseball owner or baseball commissioner, like I would like circle Sacramento and say, hey, this is it. I honestly, Kyle, I know this is not something that our friend Casey Pratt, who has left the television world and gone into the political world in the Bay Area,
yeah,
he doesn't
communications for Mayor Tao.
Yeah, he doesn't believe this to be the case, but I do. I think every single game in Sacramento, whether it's 2 years, whether it's 3 years, whether it's 4 years, whether it's 5 years, that first window, it's going to sell out every single game, and it does not matter whether the team is good or not. And I know people are going to be, oh, no, you're crazy. I will tell you, from 1985 until like 1997, 98,
mm-hmm.
Sacramento Kings sold out every single game,
mm-hmm.
every single game. And as soon as the lockout ended in 98, the 98-99 season,
mm-hmm.
for another 8 years, they sold out every single game. So something like 19 out of the first 20 seasons, they sold out every single game in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Sacramento fans are loyal. Sacramento fans show up whether the team is good or not. And mm-hmm. we're talking, they made the playoffs in the 85-86 season, the first year they got here. They didn't make it again until 95-96.
Mm-hmm.
That 10-year drought was some of the worst basketball you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And just like, and not only that, but bad things happened. You know, the Ricky Berry situation happened. The Bobby Hurley situation happened. That team was bad and it felt like it was cursed. And the only thing that was good about that team is our friend Jerry Reynolds and Mitch Richmond. Outside of that, It was a lot of bad things happening. Mm-hmm. Fans showed up every single game.
Yeah.
They will show up here just like they did there. I have no questions about that. And this is mm-hmm. a growing market. And not only think of all the people who have left the Bay Area for Sacramento mm-hmm. because they couldn't afford to buy a house in the Bay Area and they wanted to raise their kids where they didn't have to pay for private school. Mm-hmm. They've moved to Sacramento. There is a huge Bay Area transplant mm-hmm. base here that will embrace baseball. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's like it is a win for Sacramento. And I get, you know, again, one of Casey's points is that Vivek gave John Fisher a way out of Oakland. Mm-hmm. I get that. But their lease was up. They weren't mm-hmm. playing there next year anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So, did it hurt Oakland's bargaining? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a negotiation. And if you don't have, you can't force somebody to stay where they don't want to be.
Yeah.
That thing was heading for a divorce no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't force somebody to be somewhere where they refuse to be.
Sure. I don't have a ton of disagreement or really anything to add.
Yeah.
I do think if they stink, you're going to have a hard time getting people out there on a Wednesday night when it's 102.
Maybe.
But I like we talked about in the first segment, I don't think they're going to stink. I think they're in a pretty good spot to be a good club. All right. Kyle Shanahan was on the Tim Kawakami podcast called The TK Show. That is an Odyssey podcast. And man, let me start here. Shout out to Tim Kawakami,
mm-hmm.
Who is an avid listener of Candlestick Chronicles. Salute. He does such a good job. He interviews Kyle Shanahan every year at this time. Team reports for camp. Kyle Shanahan and TK sit down for half an hour, an hour, however long it winds up being. But he asks just all the right questions. And it's not like, it's just not softballs. He has tact in the way he asks these things. But everything I've wanted to know, everything that happens during an offseason where I'm like, hey, why did that happen? Kawakami will ask. And Kyle Shanahan, to his credit, gives expansive, long, thoughtful answers. It's a really fascinating interview. I really encourage you to go listen to it. The thing I want to talk about first, because you and I discuss this a lot, is the fact that the 49ers don't seem to invest in their offensive line.
Yeah, it's the most bizarre thing.
It is so strange because we see year in and year out how impactful a really high quality offensive line can be. And Shanahan, and I'm going to paraphrase here, but more or less said, if we thought that Trent Williams was available at the back of the first round, then we would have drafted him. But we looked at this year and said, we thought that every player in the back of the first round had just as good of a chance to be an NFL starter as players in the back of the second round.
Yes.
And then pointed to his offensive line in Washington, which he had a ton of success with Alfred Morris as the running back, and said that was Trent Williams, the number 4 overall pick. But then a guy who had gotten cut and a journeyman free agent and like a practice squad center. Yeah, it was like patchwork offensive line, and they ran for more yards than the Hogs and John Riggins ever did.
Yep.
And I think that's really interesting, and it falls in line with what Chris Forster, the 49ers run game coordinator and offensive line coach, said earlier this year, where he got asked kind of the same thing, and he more or less went, I want the dudes who are going to score touchdowns. And Kyle Shanahan honestly changed my mind on this.
I think he did with me too, because it was such an interesting conversation. He said, I'm willing to give up the ceiling and sometimes even the floor of going from drafting a guy in the first round versus drafting a guy in the second. He's like, is he an NFL starter? Can he start? Can he be in the league and start for 5 years, for 10 years? He's like, the problem you have when you draft a guy up high is that if you draft a guy, you know, number 4 overall, you're starting him whether he's a bust or not, because you don't want him to be a bust.
Yeah.
You don't want him to be the next Tony Mandridge.
Yeah.
Right? So you're going to keep starting him.
Yeah.
And then he gets to the end of the contract and you're like, okay, we can usher him out and we can bring someone else in.
Mm-hmm.
But during that first 4 years, it's pretty much like, okay, well, we kind of have to start this guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, sometimes you can get that same guy in the second round. Maybe he isn't the most incredible. He's like, but in order to have that guy, and you have to put the money into it. Mm-hmm. And like, it really does come down to a contractual thing a lot of the time. And he's like, look, if we're going to have a great team, we have a great team because we have incredible specialty players. We have incredible linebackers. We have an incredible defensive lineman that is the highest paid dude ever. Mm-hmm. Like, we have all of these pieces that are super expensive. The reason why our team is so expensive and so is so good is because we have put all of our time and energy into the specialty guys. Mm-hmm. And yeah, does that mean we skimp out maybe a little bit on the offensive line? He's like, yeah, but they are serviceable NFL starters, and our scheme allows us to do that.
Yeah.
And like, last time I checked, Christian McCaffrey was what, number two, number three in MVP balloting?
Three.
Yeah. And all of their money is on one guy on the offensive line. The rest of the guys don't really make anything.
Yeah. Rookie contracts are Jake Brendel's like $2 million a year, their center.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the money quote for me. He's talking about the lineman in the back end of the first round. We thought that there was as good of a chance that lineman in the back of the second round would be just as good as those guys. And he said, one's a higher prospect and might have a higher ceiling, but I'm not too concerned about the ceiling. I want to know if he's going to be a starting left tackle, a starting left guard, whatever, a starting NFL player. And if you are a starting NFL lineman, I think we can have a good team with you. Now, if we have a bunch of starting NFL linemen and there's no one who can score points, you're not going to have that good of an offense. And that feels so simple. But I can't, I can't really argue with it.
Yeah.
I don't have a really good pushback against that.
I think Kyle, they lead the league in rushing, or they're one of the best rushing teams in the league. Not only that, but how many times did Brock Purdy get sacked versus everyone else?
Like, they're the most efficient passing offense in the league.
Yeah. So you almost can't. You're like, hey, I really wish you had this protection. And look, you're going to have an issue when Trent Williams is no longer there. Mm-hmm. But you also might have the ability to carve out 15 or 20 million bucks to go get the next Trent Williams that's already established, and do the same thing where you've built your entire offensive line around one guy and then a bunch of dudes. And those guys, you know, they have their, what are they called? The gold helmet guys? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe that's what you're doing there. You're getting guys who are just tough guys that are just, you know, they hold their own, but they also, they never reach a point where they're so expensive you're going to lose them. Mm-hmm. You go out and you draft Mike Iapati and what was it?
Anthony Davis,
right? Well, you end up losing both of them. One retires, but the other one just got too expensive and you had to lose him. And it's like, okay, you're a left guard. I can't spend that much money on a left guard. Mm-hmm. And you replace him and you just keep rolling. And I think it's a really interesting strategy, which we didn't really, like, for him to lay it out there like that was really, really interesting to, like, listen to the mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I totally get it. This year, they were picking 31st. They didn't like a lot of the tackles there, and they like Ricky Pearsall more than those tackles. Okay, cool. Like, that's fine. But my one hang up with this, and again, I don't want to say that they are above reproach, the 49ers, because they're not.
No.
If they had six Super Bowls the last 6 years, okay, yeah, then you can't argue it. But they have two appearances, which is impressive. Two appearances in 5 years is impressive. Mm-hmm. But they haven't won any. And part of the reason they haven't won any is because Chris Jones, in every major spot for the Chiefs, has taken over the game. And I think that's where my one hangup is. Is, okay, that's all great. You want the guys who can score points. You're not going to invest big time in your offensive line. Okay, that's fine. I totally get it. But solve that issue. What's happening that Chris Jones is a phenomenal player?
Yeah.
Aaron Donald is a phenomenal player. The Eagles' defensive line in 2022 was sensational. One of the best defensive lines of the last, like, two decades. So it's not that they're getting housed by these bad players. They're just going up against, like, all-time Hall of Fame caliber players or all-pro caliber players, whatever, and losing. But that's the thing that jumps out to me is, dude, Colton McKivitz, God love him, wasn't an abomination last year, but he wasn't great.
Yeah.
And mano a mano against a good defensive end, you feel really good about Colton McKivitz in a big spot? John Feliciano at right guard, or Spencer Burford, or whoever it is, you feel good about them in the biggest spot, in the biggest game? And I know that sounds really narrow-minded, but that's also what their season has come down to in every time they've fallen short. It's been offensive line related. So it's tough.
It's really tough because I understand they're spending the money on Debo and Kittle and maybe Ayuk and on McCaffrey and on Juszczyk, who is, I believe, for the last like 5 years has been the highest paid fullback in the league. Like, you're spending your money on the guys that do score touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that makes sense, but it does feel like it's the right tackle that lets you down. It's the right tackle that got blown up against Philadelphia that cost Brock Purdy his elbow.
That's a tight end, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Either way, like, you didn't have the guy there to set the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And they hurt you.
They got pushed around that entire game.
Yeah.
Like, they just got dominated. But, I will no longer, I'm going to adjust my thinking with how the 49ers build their team. Mm. Is it exactly what I would do? Probably not. But I'm going to stop going into every offseason going, well, they're obviously drafting a lineman this year.
Yeah.
Because they're obviously not.
Nope.
Unless they're picking really high, that's what I'll be interested to see is in the post-Trent Williams era. Because I don't think the Niners are going to be picking in the top five anytime soon.
No.
Even if their year gets sideways this year and they go 8-9, they're in the middle of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to be in a position, I think, anytime soon to be picking that high, where he talked about drafting Trent Williams in Washington. Well, he was the number four pick. I don't think they're going to be there.
Yeah.
So when he hangs them up, it's going to be interesting to see how they go about addressing that.
Yep.
Anyways.
Maybe a year, maybe two. It's coming. You're going to have to figure it out eventually.
Talking about Kyle Shanahan's interview on the TK show, it's Tim Kawakami's podcast. It is an Odyssey podcast. Shanahan also said that he offered Bill Belichick a job.
He was like, he had some haymakers in there. There's that and the Brady stuff, and you're like, okay, this is wild.
Just threw that little nugget in there.
Oh yeah, yeah. We offered him a job. Yep.
Hit Bill Belichick and said, you know, whatever job he wanted.
Yeah, whatever DC, job you want. You can't be the head coach, but outside of that, you can have like pretty much any of the other jobs.
I can't imagine. I was trying to think. Howard Stern is I think the closest equivalent we have to this.
Mm.
Maybe Mike Francesa, if we want to stay in the sports talk radio world.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I think Mike Francesa is the right thing. Guy's kind of taking a step back, not really involved in the day-to-day sports radio, but a legend and one of the greatest to ever do it. Okay. That would be like me hitting, or Charlie, I guess, hitting Mike Francesa and going, hey, Mike, you want to pop out to Sacramento and do a show? Pick a time slot.
Any. Yeah.
That's so intimidating.
Yeah.
What do you even say? What do you say to Bill Belichick?
I mean, I'm going to guess that they have a really good relationship.
They do. Yeah, yeah, they know each other quite a bit.
So for him, it was like, hey, man, you do know that if you want to coach us here, you have a spot here. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll clear a spot, whether it's the associate head coach or it's the defensive coordinator, whatever it might be. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's intimidating.
It's intimidating.
I don't think I could send the text or make the call. I would text. That'd be a text for me.
Yeah.
That's not a phone call for me.
Yeah, but you know what? Like,
it's like on D'Lo and KC the other day, they were watching the 1991 Michael Jordan, James Worthy Wheaties commercial.
Oh.
Where MJ and James Worthy walk into the gym together and James Worthy has the Wheaties box with Michael's face on it. And Michael sees it and James Worthy like covers it up. And then Michael's like, you better eat your Wheaties.
Oh.
And then they go in. I wanted to hit up James Worthy about it.
Oh.
And I wasn't going to call him because I'm not going to call James Worthy. I'll call a guest to try and get him on. I was not going to call James Worthy and be like, hey, bro, do you have a few minutes to chat about this Wheaties commercial that's 33 years old where you got dogged by Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
I'm not making that phone call.
Well, they were.
That's a text.
And those dudes were college teammates at North Carolina.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
That's he was bowing down to Michael in this commercial.
Yeah, it's wild.
That's crazy.
That's totally crazy.
So I was trying, we wanted to get some info. That was a text for me. He left me on red, by the way.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, that's what the person I got James Worthy's number from went, here's his number. He never gets back.
Oh.
Now I'm giving it a shot.
Shoot it.
I thought maybe because we didn't want to talk about Bronny James or the Lakers that You might be like, oh, yeah, I'll talk about that Wheaties commercial. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
No dice.
Oh, that's wild. Huh.
Drat.
North Carolina greats.
So Bill Belichick was offered a job with the 49ers. He decided to turn it down. Instead, the 49ers hired Nick Sorensen as their defensive coordinator. They brought in Brandon Staley as an assistant head coach. Brandon Staley, former Rams defensive coordinator and Chargers head coach.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing was we got Kyle Shanahan's perspective on him offering or telling Brock Purdy before or after last season.
Yes.
After two seasons ago.
During last summer.
After the 2022 season, he went and told Brock Purdy, and this had been reported before by Nick Wagner and ESPN, that Shanahan went to Purdy and basically said, hey, you're the starter next year. There's no competition. It's not Sam Darnold. Well, Sam Darnold wasn't on the team at that point, but he's like, you're not competing with Trey.
Yeah.
If and when you're healthy, you're the starter. You're the guy. Unless Tom Brady wants to play for us. Because he goes into detail about how after the 2019 season,
yeah,
Jimmy Garoppolo was coming back from the ACL, took the Niners to the Super Bowl. They thought they were going to win the Super Bowl that year. Tom Brady, if you'll remember that 2019 season, went out with a pick six in the playoffs for the Patriots and just didn't look good.
Yeah.
And so Tom Brady calls the Niners that offseason. He's a free agent and goes, I would like to play football on your football team. And the Niners went, no thanks. We got Jimmy Garoppolo. We like the direction he's going. We don't want to mess him up. He's still a young quarterback. So sorry, Tom. Thanks, though. And then Tom Brady goes and wins the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay because it turns out he was not done yet. And it turns out that Jimmy Garoppolo had kind of hit his ceiling in that 2019 season. So Shanahan basically said, I don't want to make the same mistake again.
Yeah.
What?
The whole thing was crazy to listen to. Like,
insane.
He's like, hey, he's the guy I grew up watching. He's a guy like while I've been in the league, who's been the best quarterback ever. And that, but he's like, I also told Brock, hey, look, this is the only guy.
Yes.
That might start over you. No one else is like, I'm not going out and getting Matthew Stafford. I'm not going out and getting like some other quarterback.
Yeah.
If Tom Brady says yes for 1 year,
mm-hmm.
then he would be our starter next year and you'd be the backup. And then the next year you'd be the starter. Or he says no and you're the starter. Mm-hmm. So I hope that gives you the confidence. Like, you're the only guy I'd replace you with is Tom Brady. But I'm making the call, bro. I'm making the call.
He's like, I thought it was a compliment. What?
That's wild.
Can you? If Charlie walked in here right now and said, hey, Kyle, pulling the plug on the insiders, you're going to go sit. We're getting Mike Francesa is going to come in. Maybe.
Maybe.
If we don't get Francesa, it's you. But if it is Francesa, then you're going to be the producer for the show for a year. And then you'll come back. This is a compliment, but I would not take that as a compliment.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, well, that's a bummer.
Yeah, fully understanding that the legendary name that would be coming in to replace me for that year, like, fully understand. But that doesn't feel good. And no. The fact that Shanahan's like, I thought he should have been walking out of there with his head held high. Like, what?
They're
going to try and replace him.
Hey, I do really like the idea that Tim Kawakami goes and has this discussion, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it gives us like things to talk about. But it's also like, it's really intriguing to see that their relationship is where it is and they can have like this sort of, you know, back and forth. I mean, we saw Shanahan just lay into a reporter, just light him up.
Yeah,
in his first press conference, it's like, oh yeah, yeah. Well, that maybe I said that, but I'm not sure because it's you who's saying that. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry about that, bro. Wild.
A quick update from 49ers training camp, and then we will get to a break. But Brandon Ayuk is in attendance at the 49ers first practice. He is in shorts and a t-shirt. Obviously, not practicing as he awaits a new contract. But good news overall that he not only reported for camp, but that he's out there at practice.
There's also an update to that, Kyle, that Brandon Ayuk just walked off the field and into the 49ers made headquarters building with John Lynch. Oh?
Oh?
So you're saying there's a chance.
Possible breaking news on the way. Stay tuned to find out. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders at ESPN 1320. We're hanging out with you until noon on Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.